Good to see you. I wanted us to consider worship and holiness today as we look into God's Word and consider what He has for us. And worship is natural to human beings. We worship. Hello, good to see you. Didn't notice you before. Nephew and his fiance. Worship is natural for it comes to us. It's just something that when we see someone greater than ourselves, we can look up to them, and we just normally do that. Notice that that it's unavoidable. We have idols in America, and we have stars that we look up to because they shine so much bright, and they're far above us. And some of them are in Hollywood. I don't know if you recognize all those faces, but you probably recognize a few of them. The two on the left going down were apparently American Idol winners. There was a show called, I don't know if it's still going on, but American Idols. Interesting title, don't you think? And the others are movie stars, current or past. I know one's very past. he was called the King, but that's not the King who's coming again. And some of them had fairy tale romances. Well, no, not fairy tale romances, because those live happily ever after. Do you see a few that had Hollywood romances, but they didn't live happily ever after? I can see two couples. There might be more. I don't know. But these are the people. Oh, we could just be like them. Wouldn't life be wonderful? Wouldn't life be great? And even though it's a little hard to say who is a better artist or a better entertainer, because that's very subjective, but still, these people clearly have talent that other people don't have, and if you try to do their job, you can see we probably can't do it as well. But we look up to them, and that's a natural thing. When we get into other areas, like we have superstars and some of them are real and some of them are not real. Like some of the mythical heroes or the sci-fi, which is modern mythology today, we look up to them, but they're not real, but we can still look up to them. And then there are people who were real heroes. Do you recognize any of those fellows? Who's on the left? I think he has the most gold of any person from the Olympics, isn't that true? Yeah, he's been in three Olympics and he won gold every time. And the middle guy, do you know who that is? Dan Gable from the past, Olympic wrestler. You see his name written on the stamp. Maybe unknown to people today, but one of the heroes in World War II. And who's the guy on the far right?
Einstein.
Don't you love his bagels? Yes, Albert Einstein. Probably not on someone's wall as a hero. Well, maybe some people. But these people, and if you think about the Olympic athletes, now that's something easier, it's more objective. You can actually measure speed or how much weight they lift or how fast, you know, like how fast he could swim in the pool. These things are measurable, right? Some things are not so measurable. But they're clearly ahead of one another. I looked at someone yesterday, and at one time he was the world's strongest man according to certain contests. He was a power lifter, then he went into something called World's Strongest Man. And he's now 65 years old. He's not that strong anymore, but in his heyday, he was really something. And that's what happens to our heroes. They get old, right? Because we're just human and we have a limited lifeline. Now, we talked about the Corinthian church, and we said the Corinthians, Paul rebuked them for being babies in Christ. Even though by now they should have grown up, he said, "You're being babies in Christ." And what was the cause of them being babies in Christ. Little babies are cute. Ezekiel, John was born this morning. Babies are great. But when someone's old and they're still a baby, it's not pretty. It's not a pretty sight. What was the cause of the Corinthians being called babies? Do you know? They were carnal, yes. And so the word fleshly or carnal, some translations say, are you not yet worldly? Are you not acting like normal people, unsaved people? But what was the cause of it? It's a surprising problem. We might not even consider it a problem today. We might even be proud of it. He rebuked them for a problem we don't see as a problem today. So guess who else would be rebuked? We would also be rebuked. They were divided over church leaders. Which church leaders would they follow? I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Cephas. I know our translations have it with a C, but it's actually a hard C. It's Cephas, which is Aramaic for rock. What's the Greek for rock? Peter or Petros. Yeah. So Peter. So I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter. They're following different men. Do you recognize any of these men up here? Mm-hmm. Who's on the top left? Billy Graham. Billy Graham. And under him? Jonathan Edwards. Very good. And under him? Martin Luther. Okay, in the very middle? We'll save him. Okay, the one at the bottom in the middle? C.S. Lewis. Okay, on the far right top. Come on, we have some Calvin grads here. John Calvin, come on. Yeah, John Calvin. And under him? Yes, my grandson's name, Wesley. Okay, the guy in the middle at the top. They didn't have photographs back then, so this is someone's idea, right? Augustine. Supposedly Augustine, okay? Let's read what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said in chapter 3 of Corinthians, For when one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? Are you not acting like everyone else who follows idols, who have these leaders? I follow this leader and not that leader. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you have believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. Now, there are people that have tremendous ability in sports, right? But they have to develop those gifts. But there are some people, when they work hard at it, they're just much better than someone else. The guy who I think just recently retired, who was the fastest sprinter in the world? Usain Bolt. What a name for a sprinter, right? And he was like 6'5" from Jamaica. And he ran it, I think, in under 9 seconds, the 100-meter dash. I think 8-point-something. That's amazing for a human. For a cheetah, probably not that much. But for humans, that's pretty good. So we look up to these people, and we should give people some honor for what they've done and respect them. Because another problem we have is tearing people down. It's one thing to watch the Olympics and say, oh, that guy's a loser. He only got third place. He's standing here instead of here or here. You know, it's like, wait a minute, third in the world, that's pretty good. And, you know, even to get to the Olympics, like Denny Cass was the alternate ready to go to the Olympics in 1980. That's really, you know, so he's top in the country. Unfortunately, the president decided we wouldn't go to the Olympics that year. That's amazing to be at that level. I remember I was in my mid-40s. I was visiting a friend who was a pastor in a small church in Grand Rapids. And they had a gymnasium next to their church. And all the men, 40, 50, 30, were playing basketball. And as you can tell, you probably can tell I'm not a real good basketball player. And free throws are not bad. I like free throws. And we're playing, and then there's this kid. He's like 19 years old, and he's tall and thin, and he's jamming the basketball. And I said, wow, you're really good basketball. Because he was running everywhere and stealing the ball anytime he wanted to. And, you know, and I said, you're really good. And he says, I'm not that good. I said, no, you're really good. He said, I'm not that good. He said, I'm on the Grand Rapids Junior College team, and I'm the sixth man. If I were good, I'd be a starter. And if I were really good, I'd be on a better school. Do you understand? And I'm saying, well, compared to this group, you're like, you're amazing. And so it's easy for us to look at different groups and say, oh, he's the best of this group, but not realize there are many groups above. And some people, have you ever been an armchair quarterback? Why did that dummy go to the left? He should have went to the right. He should have threw the ball to the other guy. And so people who can't play at all are telling these professionals who, because to get, you know, you got to be pretty good to play in high school and then to the college, it's only a fraction of those who play in high school actually play in college. And only a fraction of a fraction who play in college play in pro ball, right? And even there we can see some people are outstandingly good, better than others. But probably no one in this room and 99.9% of the people watching it are in that caliber, and yet people can criticize and judge and say, that guy didn't do very well, although he did so much better than we could do. And so we have two tendencies, neither of which are good. One is to criticize people we're not even in the league that they're in. It says of Michael the archangel that he did not bring a reviling accusation against even Lucifer. And though Michael was an angel and the archangel, he didn't do that. And yet we can talk about things we don't even know about. Because we want to talk about worship and holiness. And we should give honor to those that are above us, but it needs to be honor that's appropriate. What does he say? Did Apollos minister? Yeah. Did Paul minister? Yes. Did Peter minister? Yes. But who are they? They're only servants of God. Now, in the next chapter, he says, well, I'll read that later. I'm sorry. Let's go to the next verse here. I planted, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything. It's God. It's all about God who's causing the growth. And he's enabling Paul, he's enabling Peter, he's enabling Apollos, and they're happy to be part of this, but it's God who gives the credit, and yet we tend to give credit to people. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. They're united in the same work. And yet we can divide them up. No, they're working together for the same cause. Each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, we had pictures of those guys. Some of you have read some of the books of Wesley or Edwards or Lewis or Augustine. And you can profit from them. But they're all working for the same cause. They're working for Christ. Each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, God's field. We are fellow workers, but you are God's field. So he said, planting and watering. We just got new sod at our house. And it was one of our ESL people. He and his wife came here to learn English better, and I knew he had a landscaping business, so we called him up. And I know it's going to work because his name is Jesus. And so when Jesus does your lawn, it's going to work right, right? Jesus. He did a good job. But what we've been doing ever since he put it in is what? Watering, 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 yes. And so one plants, or transplants in this case, and another waters. But each will receive his reward according to his own labor. For we are God's workers, but you are his field. Who is he talking to? You are his field. What does he mean, you? The church. What's the church? We got one here. We got one right down the road here. Just at the other end of the golf course. There's one down Cherry Hill. There's churches everywhere, right? You, the body of Christ, the believers in Christ, those who have been united to Christ by faith in him and have his spirit living in them. You, he said, you are his field. God is doing a work in you. And we have underappreciated the church for many reasons, but we need to review the scripture and get a better understanding of what the church is. He said, you are God's field, you are God's building. Now he's going to switch metaphors and go into that from the field to the building. He said, I have, according to the grace of God given to me, like a master architect or a master builder, I've laid the foundation, another builds on it, but each one has to be careful how he builds on it. And the foundation, there's only one foundation which is laid, and that is Christ himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if anyone builds on the foundation, and in temples, he's building a temple, and temples are meant to be beautiful and ornate and impressive. He said some are built on that foundation with gold and silver and precious stones, and some with wood and hay and straw. Each man's work will be evident, for the day will show it, because it'll be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Now, if you're building on a temple, you want to build it with something that's going to withstand the fire. Which of those will withstand the fire? Gold? Yeah. Silver? Yeah. Well, it'll melt, but it depends on how hot it is. Precious stones? Yes. Wood? No. Hay? No. Straw? No. So we want to be the first three, not the second three, building upon that. And if any man's work which he built on it remains, he'll receive a reward. If his work is burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, so as yet through fire. Now, who's he talking about? The servants. The men who, the people who were teaching and leading the church. Because some teachers have taught better than others. And some leaders have led better than others. But all of them are working for the same cause. And then he says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. So if someone, how can they destroy the temple of God? What would that mean, destroying the temple of God? Destroying this building? No. The people are the temple. The people are the temple. And so anyone that divides the church and destroys the bond of the church, this is the one that will have to answer to God. We look back again at Ephesians 4, where he says, Christ gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. For what purpose? To equip the saints for the work of service. So all of the saints, the holy ones, the believers are holy in Christ. They are to do the work to the building up of the body of Christ. How does the body grow up? When all the members are working. We together are saints in Christ. And then we'll attain unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man. He means the church will grow up to be one mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Because now he's switching metaphors. Now what is he saying the church is? The church is the body of Christ. He's the body of Christ. As a result, we'll no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men. There were false teachers. There were false prophets all through the Old Testament, false teachers also in the New Testament, false teachers today. You can find them on certain channels. The craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we speak the truth in love to one another and hold one another to not just think God's thoughts, but to actually put them into practice. We will grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, that's the metaphor of the body, we are the body of Christ, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building of itself up in love. And so he said, consider yourself as part of a body, members of a body. And you don't want, I don't know if you've ever been in a lab or you've seen these skeletons. Have you seen skeletons, right? And what if the professor took all of them apart and said, put it back together? Could you do it? There's a song that helps you. The knee bone connects to the patella, and I don't know. You don't want the bones spread apart. In fact, you want them connected, but that's not enough. You have to have muscles, you have to have tissue, you have to have all these things, you have to have organs. There's many parts to the body. And he said, that's what we are in Christ. We are the body of Christ. We can't despise any other parts, any other members. Well, it's easy for us to forget, because Christ is our friend, we forget sometimes that He's our Lord. And we need to have a holy reverence for Christ. Think back in the days of David. David built himself a palace, and then he looked and he saw the ark of God in this old stinky tent. And he said, that's not right. I need to build a beautiful building for the ark. And the prophet said, you're the king, do what you want. And then later the Lord came to the prophet and said, no, he's not going to build it. I will build David a house, but David will not build me a house. I will build David a household, meaning a dynasty, and from David's line will come one, the son of David, who will be Christ. But it will be David's son who builds the temple. And so David collected the material, got all the gold and silver and all those things, and Solomon built the temple. And when Solomon was ready, they dedicated it. Solomon prayed, and then when he finished praying, look at this. Now when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Now, can you imagine seeing this beautiful building? All the people are assembled. There's all these sacrifices. They're all ready to go. And some of the sacrifices are going to be burnt up completely. Some of the sacrifices, they're going to actually have a barbecue and they're going to have a big party. But some of the ones designated for burnt offerings, they're going to consume them. Normally, the priest starts the fire. But that's not what happened. Fire came from heaven and burned them up. Would you be impressed? Would you think, wow, this isn't just a work that people made, this impressive building. This God's actually involved in this. Yes, that's what happened. It said fire came from heaven. Normally that gets people's attention. It burned up the offering, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Now, when Moses had first built the tent of meeting, what happened? A cloud of smoke filled the tabernacle. But now, this is filling that whole temple, so much so the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord it filled the temple. All the sons of Israel, seeing the fire come down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, what did they do? They bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. And they worshiped and praised and gave praise to the Lord, saying, truly, He is good, truly his loving kindness is everlasting. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifice before the Lord. Try to see that picture in your mind. These thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people gathered around this new, beautiful building. These sacrifices, fire comes down, burns them up. Smoke fills the temple. The priests have to leave the temple because the glory of God is there. And not just the smoke, but the shining of God, shining out from that, his glory. And the people said, wow, this is God. Thank God for his covenant. Thank God that he's promised goodness to us. And so they repeat the words of the covenant, that his loving kindness is everlasting towards us. Now, on the day of Pentecost, what happened? After Christ is raised from the dead, he spent 40 days teaching them, and then he leaves and he says, soon this God will send his promise, the Holy Spirit. It came about a week later. Pentecost means 50 days after Passover, and it came. They were all together in one place, and suddenly, upon the disciples, there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. Now, have we had that recently, a noise of a violent rushing wind? Normally not an exciting idea, not what you want to be in. People on the East Coast are experiencing this superstorm, or I don't know if it's downgraded from a hurricane to what level, but you don't want to hear that normally. They didn't say things were being blown around. It said it was the sound of a violent rushing wind, because the word wind in many languages is close to the word spirit. And so here comes the spirit. It's powerful. It's mighty. And then it says it filled the house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to be to them as tongues of fire upon each one of the believers there in that house. And it rested on them. Now, did this fire heat up the room? Do you remember a fire that was burning, but what it was burning didn't burn up? When was that? Or where was that? The bush. When God got Moses' attention. There's a bush on fire, but I don't know. It doesn't look like it's burning up. I got to get closer and see this. And he gets closer and he says, take off your shoes. This is a holy place. And God spoke from that bush. So these pictures are to come to the minds of the people. This powerful wind, this fire that doesn't burn, but it's burning inside of them. It's setting them on fire, inflamed for God's glory. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They went out into the street and they began declaring the glories of God to all these pilgrims coming from different places, and the pilgrims heard the praises of God in their own languages. And then Peter stands up and he preaches to them. Many of them believe. And everyone who believed, they received his word, were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls to the church. And then they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And they met one another in their homes, also in the temple. So it's very important for us to recognize that we don't want to stay babies. We want to grow up in Christ, and we need to respect the sacred nature of the church. The church, it's not our church. You can say it's our church because you're part of it. But it doesn't belong to us. Sometimes churches forget that. Sometimes congregations forget that. Sometimes pastors forget that. Sometimes boards forget that. If it's a church at all, who does it belong to? It belongs to Jesus. It's not ours. We're part of it. We're his field. We're his building. We're his temple. So every member is to minister. He gives us gifts that we're supposed to use. One of the most important things that we're told, remember what Jesus said at the Last Supper? He says, just as I have loved you, and no one loves more than giving their life, I'm about to give my life for you. Just as I have loved you, so love one another. And then later in his prayer in John 17, he said, Father, give them the unity that we have, I and you, you and me, also we and them and they and us. And so the church is to have unity. And these two things, the love and the unity of the church, is what gives the witness to the world that we belong to Jesus Christ. And so tonight, we're going to have these growth groups again, and we want you to come and be part of that, even if you signed up or if you didn't sign up. We want you to come and see what it's about, because there we'll be able to do more as far as building up one another, using our gifts, loving and serving one another, and so we can grow in Christ. Look what Peter says. He says, you have come to him as a living stone. Christ is the living stone, rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. And so you, each one of you, are living stones. You're built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a spiritual house. We are that house. And we need to remember that. And so, we can have superheroes. I don't know if you can see that. On the left here, the Hulk, Captain America, Spider-Man. I guess these, I don't see any DC people. These are all Marvel people. And Jesus is saying what? He's telling them, that's how I saved the world. So he's the real superhero. What's represented on the right? Angels. And which one of these are, of course, we don't know what angels look like, but that's some artist. Of these, if you saw a real superhero, if these superheroes were real, we would be impressed. We might even worship them. And the same with angels. When John was lifted up to heaven, he saw a holy angel. He fell down to worship him. And the angel says, don't worship me. I'm a fellow servant. You worship Christ. And he lifted him up. And in heaven, all the creatures worship God. Let's read this together. Revelation 5, 9. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and break its seals. For you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Who is he talking to? Who is being addressed? Who is worthy to take the scroll, the book? The Lamb that was slain, the Lord Jesus Christ. And who's doing all this singing? Who did John see singing this song? And let's read it together. And then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elder, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And every created thing which was in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and on the sea and all the things in them, I heard saying. So who's left out? No one. Every created creature is saying. Let's say this together. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. The church is holy. We are the church. we must grow together in our love, our unity, and our holiness. Come tonight, and we'll see how we can do that a little bit better. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your scriptures that teach us how you have been working all these years, showing yourself to people, building up this story of salvation through the patriarchs and the prophets, through the temple and then the church. And now we're part of that, a building that you have built out of living stones, a field that you are cultivating, bringing forth fruit. Lord, help us to be the church under your direction, under your care, living by your power, you living in us and making us fruitful and making us a beautiful and holy habitation. Help us to love one another, serve one another, build up one another, building up the body of Christ. Every joint, every part of the body doing its work. Every organ, every muscle, every bone, whatever it is, doing its part, building up the body of Christ. It is a great mystery. Help us, Lord, to live in that mystery of the church, which is vitally connected to you. Help us to love and respect you and to do our part. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing.